Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
Cecilia Bernhardt
and Winston Smith.
Okay, and we have chocolate in the middle of the table for anyone listening. Just want you guys to know that if we speak quickly, it's because of the sugar and caffeine, right? Yeah. Isn't there caffeine in chocolate?
Yes.
Yes, okay. There is.
I thought so. So we're going to talk about forgiveness and what Scripture says this week. We've received a question that goes like this. What is real forgiveness? What if I just can't forget? Does forgiving mean I have to seek reconciliation?
That's a great question, Andrew. I think people get very confused about the idea of forgiveness, and oftentimes people equate forgiveness with forgetfulness in a not helpful way. And I think, what is real forgiveness? I think for us as biblical counselors, we start at the place where understanding that God has forgiven us and the amazing thankfulness that we have in our hearts and in our lives, knowing that forgiveness and experiencing that every day. So for us, I think this is a concept we think about all the time. Mm. And then I would say that real forgiveness involves acknowledging that you really have been sinned against, and you know, for the purposes of this discussion, to assume that there is a real transgression against a person. And real forgiveness means considering that, accepting it for what it is, and choosing to forgive and let go of the consequences and any repercussions. And that is that's the important part of forgiveness, that it is an action that we take. Mm. We decide to forgive, and we step forward, and we seek to actually put off the sin and what has been done against us, and put on a sense of love and grace and compassion. Mm.
I think there are a lot of potential stumbling blocks for us in forgiveness. One would be, sometimes, rather than thinking of forgiveness as a pathway to reconciliation, forgiveness gets treated more as a way to just get the painful topic off of the table. So that actually we use forgiveness in a way that short circuits reconciliation. Right. We're both really uncomfortable with what happened, so we settle for this really quick transaction, so that we don't have to talk about it anymore. And then, and in that short circuiting of the process, things are left undealt with that don't allow us to really do forgiveness and walk in restoration. So one of the things I would say is, Don't try to rush the process of forgiveness. And if you find yourself sort of regularly ruminating on something that you were asked to forgive, and you're just finding it really difficult to do, it's possible that you extended forgiveness before you had a chance to really experience and understand how you were wounded. Mm. If you're trying to forgive something that you don't even fully understand, the forgiveness is not going to... It's not really going to work its way deeply into your heart. So I think it's a mistake to sort of, especially the more serious a sin is, the more conversation it's probably going to take to work through. It's, you know, small sins, you know, I'm sorry I snapped at you yesterday, forgive me, okay, I forgive you. You can transact it that way because it was such a small thing anyway. But when you're talking about matters of adultery, addictions, violence, really traumatic things, one conversation is almost never going to do it. So you can talk about wanting to reconcile and working through forgiveness, but it's going to take conversations where the injured party is going to need time to be able to talk about how they've been harmed. So that when the person seeks forgiveness, there's a sense of, yes, they really know what they did. And therefore, their seeking of forgiveness is sincere. And because I've had a chance to talk about what happened to me, I really know what I'm forgiving. So that's one of several things I think we need to think about when we're getting hung up in forgiveness.
The questioner talks about forgetting. And does forgiveness mean forgetting what happened to you?
Yeah, I don't think the goal, it's not forgetfulness in the sense of forgiveness is divine amnesia, as if the past didn't happen. I mean, we don't see that in Scripture. God's purposes are purposes of redemption, restoration. And so he's always part of us knowing him and knowing ourselves is knowing how we've been rescued and how we've been rescued from sin and what it cost him and how he's working through it. So in a sense, history is critically important for knowing God as a God of redemption. So what we see, like, you know, I'll just take like a little word picture. Jesus is resurrected and the wounds are there, right? The marks are there of his crucifixion. But the marks mean something different on this side of the resurrection. They're memorial wounds of his love and God's forgiveness, and we can rejoice in his wounds now.
Yes,
and I think that's you know, when you've had problems in your relationship, the goal isn't to act like they never happened, to try to forget them, but to work through a process that allows you to see them in a whole new light, where you no longer just see the sin and the wound, but you see God's redemptive purposes in what happened. And so that you can, in a sense, you can ultimately give thanks. You can look back on what happened and have some sense of gratitude that God was at work there and has restored and is restoring things.
That's right. And that's where, as counselors, we get the privilege of walking through with people through this process and seeing just the thoughtful attention to what happened, what do we do with that, how do we keep in mind what God has done for us, how do we apply that to this relationship, and then the amazing freedom that comes on the other end when we're able to actually look at something that's been so challenging, forgive it, and then move forward. That is an amazing sense of grace, rather than, as Winston was saying before, some kind of like fake denial that nothing ever happened. And so it just brings you to a new and amazing deep relationship with the other person.
I mean, the question continues, do we have to seek reconciliation? Let's imagine that this is someone you don't see all the time. And so you don't have to see them. Do you have to seek reconciliation?
Well, I do think it's important to understand, you know, again, thinking, you know, God's relationship with us is the model. His forgiveness isn't, I forgive you, now I don't ever want to see you again. It's a forgiveness unto restoration, unto restored relationship. And, you know, what we have to keep in mind as fallen creatures is it takes two people to really reconcile. So for example, in Romans 12, Paul says, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. It takes two parties to reconcile. I can offer forgiveness. I can express a desire to be reconciled, but I can't make that happen. And there are situations where the other party isn't sorry for either their sin or isn't willing to extend forgiveness. And we do what we can do, and I think we should be prayerful and open to restoration, but not try to force it and make it happen if they're not willing to. And sometimes we end up having to leave that in the hands of the Lord. That's and right. Restoration doesn't happen, or it takes years for it to happen, and we just have to wait on the Lord and trust him in those difficult situations.
That's right. And sometimes defining what restoration actually is, it takes some wisdom. And again, that's where we can be of help, because, say, for example, in a situation where someone has sinned repeatedly against a person, restoration will include moving toward that person and reconnecting, but it may not include trusting that person in a way that they have proved over and over again untrustworthy. So really, it's a wisdom issue that needs to be addressed within the context of each relationship and each counseling situation. So we want to be very careful not to make a blanket statement, because each situation can be different in the way that it manifests.
And I love that picture of two people being part of reconciliation. And even Winston, you've said before in speaking about marriage that even if one person in the marriage is working towards growth in the marriage, there's going to be some growth.
Yeah, it'll impact the marriage.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.